About 10 days ago, we celebrated the national holiday of Thanksgiving. And also about 10 days ago, many people cut their Thanksgiving short so they could then go buy all kinds of material things. And on Friday, of course, Black Friday, that's always been the big day for going out and getting all the bargains. And so-called Black Friday, because that's when the stores, the retail stores, they make the profit necessary to put them in the black for the year so that they are actually making a profit. And yet a few years ago, they began the tradition of, well, you know what, Friday's not enough. We need to take advantage of the opportunity of opening up even on Thanksgiving, maybe at 5 or 6 in the evening, so that people can get a head start on buying all those material things that they so desperately need, and we can make even more money that way. And so people cut their Thanksgiving short so that they can go buy material things. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying if you went out on Thursday or Friday and went and took advantage of some of the great deals that you are sinning and that you are not giving thanks. That's not what I'm saying. But I do want to show you just what the focus is of this world. And that's really the state of affairs of our culture, is that of materialism and on the things of this earth. By way of contrast, a friend of mine, Mike Holmes, who owns the Chick-fil-A both in Gardendale and Fultondale, our kids play sports together, and I was talking to him one time about Chick-fil-A and how they have always had the rule about being closed on Sundays. And I love the fact that they are closed on Sundays, and why they're closed on Sundays is because when Truett Cathy started his business, he was not going to himself be working on a day when he needed to be spending his time worshiping God, and he did not want to prohibit other people, his employees, from having that opportunity together with their church. And that's been the rule even after he passed away and Dan Cathy has become the leader of Chick-fil-A. And I asked Mike, I said, so I'm curious, that's the principles of the founding family, but will that always be the case, do you think, with Chick-fil-A? Do you think that after the Cathys are out of the picture and the next generation comes up and whoever leads it, do you think that it will continue to be the case where they are closed on Sundays so that those people that work for Chick-fil-A can focus on family and worship? And he said, by all means, because the owners of Chick-fil-A would not have it any other way. They hire and use only those people who have those same type of principles and ideals. And even though Chick-fil-A could be making millions and millions of dollars overall by being open on Sundays, they realize there are things that are more important than that. A couple of different contrasting ideas and values there. So what on earth does this have to do with Colossians and the supremacy of Christ? It's all about perspective. It's all about priorities. It's all about being a Christ-centered life. And when you come to Colossians chapter 3, which is where we are in our study through the book of Colossians, and take a look at the verses that Jonathan read for us this morning, Paul is moving from some of the theological doctrines that he has been stating in the first couple of chapters, where the focus is on Christ, and how the false teachers have taken the focus off of Christ, and he is putting it back where it needs to be, and now he begins to transition to, well, how does this play out in your real life? In your everyday life, how does it play out? If Christ is truly supreme in all things, what does that look like in your life? The false teachers had taken the focus off of Christ. He says in chapter 2 that you've died and you've been raised with Christ, so there is a different way of living. He talked about self-made religion at the end of chapter 2, and he said that's not the answer to the temptations of the flesh. These man-made restrictions and rules are not going to help you conquer the temptations of the flesh. But what will help you conquer the temptations of the flesh, the indulgences of the flesh, is where your mind is and what you think about. And so verses 1 through 4 specifically that we're going to be looking at this morning, he's talking about things above versus things on the earth. A Christ-centered mindset and life versus an earthly one. I have one point this morning. Only one. It's going to revolve around this statement. And that is that our mindset and actions should reflect our spiritual reality, not our physical reality. Read with me Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. He says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." Our mindset, where we set our mind, and what we do, he talks about the actions in the following verses. Our mindset and our actions should reflect our spiritual reality, which is that our life is hidden with Christ. There is a heavenly realm that we are a part of, even now. Even though our physical reality does not look like that, that is the spiritual reality. And since that's the case, since we have died and since we have been raised with Christ, that's the spiritual reality, then our life should reflect that. Two questions that I want to ask us this morning as we go through this that's based upon these four verses is, what are you seeking, number one, and then what are you thinking about? Where is your mind? Where is your vision? What is it that you're seeking? What is it that you're thinking about? He says for us to seek those things which are above and to set our mind on things above. You ever play that game hide and seek? Ever play it with your kids? It's so much fun with young kids to play hide and seek. Because as an adult or someone that's older, you know how the game works a whole lot better, and you know all the good hiding spots, and you know how to hide really well, and so it's fun to watch them try to play the game and to play with them and them try to find you. But when you're seeking, when you are the seeker, there is something specific you are trying to find. He says to seek those things that are above. There is something that we need to be pursuing, something we are to be looking for, something that we're trying to get a hold of. And Paul is making the point here that it should be things of a spiritual nature, not the things of an earthly nature. So when it comes to our life here on this earth, the question that we're asking is, what are we seeking? Now this is going to be different for each person based upon what stage of life you're at or what stage of life you're in. Maybe you're just starting out in the workforce. There are some of you who are in your 20s and you're just starting out, and so you have some certain goals, some certain things that you want to accomplish, and you have your idea of what it is you're looking for, and if you can just to get to that next level, to that next stage, oh man, you'd be happy. And so your focus right now, from physically speaking, is on that certain goal. Maybe you're later on in your career, and maybe your goal right now, maybe the thing you're seeking right now is just retirement. You're ready to be done. You're on the other side of the spectrum here, and you're looking forward to and working towards retirement, and maybe looking forward to getting some R&R, being able to do some things that you haven't been able to do yet. Maybe you're already there. What is your life about? What is it that you're working towards? What is it that you're seeking? What is it that you are pursuing? Maybe it has nothing to do with a job. Maybe it has to do with a hobby. Maybe that's what you think about all the time. Maybe that's what you can't wait to do when you get back home from work. But the work is just a necessary evil to get you somewhere where you can do something that you want to do. Maybe it's just a sense of satisfaction with whatever it is, the work that you do. Whatever it is that drives you in this life is the answer to the question of what it is that you are seeking. Seeking means that we are looking for something. Our eyes are looking for and looking at something. What is our vision? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, please. Matthew chapter 6. In the second half of this chapter, Jesus warns about this vision and motivation behind people's lives, specifically as it's focused in on the physical things. And it's in this section in verse 22 that he says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" What do you mean, Jesus, by talking about the eye and the light and a good eye and a bad eye? He's talking about what we're looking at, what our focus is upon, what we're seeking. And in this context, if our focus, if our vision is only on the physical things, then in reality we are full of darkness and how great that darkness is. If that's all we see, and if that's all we seek, is the things of this world, the earthly things, rather than the things that are above, then we are full of darkness. We're not seeing the bigger picture. We're not seeing what we need to be seeing. What is it that we are seeking? What are we using our eyes to look at? Well, Paul says that we need to be vigorously pursuing those things that are above. Spiritual things. We need to be pursuing and seeking and going after Christ ruling in our lives. Colossians is such a Christ-centered letter. He is the supreme. He is the preeminent one. Everything is about Christ. Well, is that true in our own individual life? Is Christ supreme in our life? Is that what we're seeking? Are we seeking His supremacy in our life? Are we seeking His will in our life? Are we seeking to live by His will in everything that we do? Is everything that we do about Christ? You know, it's not that those other things we pursue in life are necessarily evil. You know, right now, financially speaking, some of the things that I'm pursuing has to do with what's coming up in just a couple of short years. I've got two boys that are sophomores. What happens in a couple of years? College, Florida College. It's not cheap. And so each day, financially speaking, that's something that is on my mind, and I'm doing things that are trying to help to prepare for those big bills that are coming up. They're doing it as well, but it's certainly my responsibility. And we're trying to hopefully build a house next year. And so all these things that are physical, there's nothing wrong with those things. There's nothing inherently sinful about those pursuits and what we're wanting to accomplish here in this earth, but is that the focus? Is that the primary focus? Is that all I'm concerned about? Is that all I spend my time doing? Is that what I'm seeking? Paul says, seek those things that are above, not the things that are on the earth. Those other things get in the way and cause us to lose our focus. If we're spending too much time seeking for those earthly things, then it messes up our vision. It gets in the way. You know, we have a habit, I believe most people do, have a habit of compartmentalizing our spiritual lives and our physical lives, spiritual life and the earthly life, where our spiritual lives are Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, Wednesday evenings, and then, you know, everything else in between, that's our physical and our earthly life. You know, on Sundays, we come together and we even pray it sometimes in our prayers, our public prayers, about help us to remove the things of the world out of our minds as we focus now in on these spiritual matters. And that's a great prayer. We need to do that. But what happens sometimes is that come Monday, that focus is left behind on Sunday. And now Monday is about me, and it's about the physical side of things, and Tuesday and Wednesday, and then we got to rush and get to services, Bible class on Wednesday night, and okay, now for another hour I can focus on spiritual things. And then Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and you know what, even on Sundays we compartmentalize it, don't we? Because what are we doing on Sunday afternoons a lot of times? Well, taking a nap is number one priority, right? Maybe watching football. Maybe getting together with some friends, going outside and playing video games if you're young enough and into that sort of thing. But then Sunday night, we're back to the spiritual things. And so we chop it up and we compartmentalize it. We need to look at our life, Paul says, as the spiritual reality. And every day and every part of our life is a spiritual life. And the way we approach and work and do everything in our life should have a spiritual focus and component to it. And not just relegate it to Sundays or Wednesdays. I'm not saying we can't have the time to enjoy life and the blessings that God has given us. But think about this for just a moment. Think about what if we took all that time outside of work, I'm talking about, that we have to do in the evenings maybe, or if you're retired during the day, and we took just some of that time and we decided, okay, what am I going to do today for the kingdom of God? What am I going to do today to seek those things that are above? I'm not going to wait until Wednesday. I'm not going to wait until Sunday. I'm going to do it today. What can I do today to seek those things that are above? That could be getting into the Word of God, spending time in His Word. I think of Psalm 119 and verse 97, where the psalmist says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." That's somebody who is spending his time, he's seeking, and he's thinking about the Word of God all day long. That doesn't mean necessarily that he has put away everything out of the world and said, okay, I'm dedicating this day, I'm not going to do anything else other than to read and focus on God's law. Now, that would be great, that's fine, but can't we do that even while we're working? Can't we do that even while we're with our family? Can't we find ways to apply that to our relationships, the people we come in contact with? He has spoken to us in His Word. He has preserved it for us. He has told us what He expects of us. We don't need some kind of spiritual experience. We don't have to go up onto a mountaintop and feel God's presence. We don't need to be by some beautiful stream or a river or some beautiful field to be able to connect with God. We can connect with Him anywhere we are at any time through the Word of God and through prayer. And what if we took just some of the time from our own selfish time, the time we use for what we want to do, and say, you know what? I'm going to use this for God's kingdom. Now, how that plays out and what you do with that, there's a multitude of avenues. Whether it be spending time in God's Word, whether it be finding a way you can serve someone else, whether it be teaching someone else the gospel, so many ways we can get involved. But what are we seeking? What is it that we're pursuing? What are we thinking about? What is our mind on? Is it all on spiritual? I mean, is it all on earthly pursuits? Or are we pursuing spiritual things? It's not just what we see, though, but it's what our mind is doing. It's not just the seeking, it's what we are thinking about. And what we think about all the time is what we will be seeking. What we think about all the time is what we will be looking for. And it just doesn't make any sense, Paul says, for a Christian to think about and desire the base things of the world when he has higher things and higher promises given to him. Those of you who are married, take a trip back in time with me. Take a trip back in time to when you were first dating your spouse. Maybe the first, second, third date. That time frame. And maybe even leading up to when you got up the nerve to ask your wife, or not your wife, but ask that girl to go out on a date with you. What was your mind doing all day long, even while you were at work or even while you were at school? Were you thinking about school? No, you were thinking about that girl or thinking about that boy. And you were daydreaming and you were looking forward to that date on Friday night. That's what you were thinking about. And maybe your schoolwork even suffered because you couldn't help but think about your boyfriend or your girlfriend. That's where your mind was. And everything you did was focused in on that. I remember back before the days, of course, of cell phones and texting and being able to contact my girlfriend anytime I wanted to. I mean, well, I did not have that luxury. Those of you who are growing up in this day and age, I mean, you can text and talk anytime you want to. That was not the case. We had to wait until we got home and get on the home phone. Anybody have a home phone anymore? Not many people do, but we have to get on our home phone and we have to wait until the parent said it was okay to get on the phone. And you're limited as to when you can get on the phone. All that time of anticipation, looking forward to it. And so because we couldn't talk all the time, what would we do during the day during school? We'd write notes that we'd then exchange with our boyfriend or girlfriend when we did get together with them. Any of y'all do that? We're thinking about them all the time. Our minds are consumed with them. Brethren, is that the way we think about Christ? And about spiritual matters? Do we think about spiritual matters so much that we have trouble focusing in on the physical things? Or is it that we are focusing and consumed so much with physical things that we have trouble focusing in on the spiritual things? Unfortunately, it's that way and not the former most of the time. We need to reverse our thinking. We need to reverse what it is that we're looking at and what we're thinking about. And just as when we were dating, all we could think about was the boyfriend or girlfriend, what he or she was doing, where they were, we need to be spending that same amount of time meditating and thinking about the spiritual things, looking forward to the opportunity that we can then maybe act upon those spiritual things and do something for the Lord. In verse 3 of Colossians 3, he says, after he said to seek those things that are above and to set your mind on those things above, he said, the reason for this, that's what the word for is there for in verse 3. The reason for this is because you have died. Not a physical death, but a spiritual death. You have died and your life is hidden with Christ. It is not your life any longer. Your life is over. It is now with Christ. And while you cannot physically see that, you can't touch it, it's not tangible, it's not something that you can see here in this earth, it is the spiritual reality that if you have died with Christ and been raised with Christ, you are now with Him in the heavenly places, as He says in Ephesians chapter 2. There's a spiritual reality that we cannot see, but it is real nonetheless. And our life is no longer our own. It is a life to be lived with Christ. I talked about hide and seek a while ago. There was a few years ago, back when we were living in, in San Antonio. We were playing hide and seek in our house, and Casey hid in our closet, in the master closet one time. And I was seeking. I didn't know she was there. I was trying to find her. It was my turn to find her. And I remember I went into the closet. And I didn't just do a superficial look. I mean, I was looking good. I was seeking good. And I was moving things around. And I went in that closet 3 or 4 times. And I still didn't find her. She blended in so well and hid herself so well in that closet that I never saw her. When people look at you and your life, what do they see? Do they see you or do they see Christ? What is apparent to them? It should be that your life is no longer, it's not the same kind of life, as he's going to go on to say in the next few verses that Jonathan read for us. There is a putting off of one way of life and a putting on of another. You take off the old man and you put on the new man. And it's completely different. And the way you live, the actions and the way you talk and everything you do is because of this point, that you're dead. As Paul states it another way in Galatians chapter 2, he says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I have been crucified with Christ. And when that's the case, that we are seeking those things above, when we are setting our minds on things above, that our life truly is Him with Christ. We're dead. People see us. They see Christ. And they see what we're doing and how we're living. And it is a Christ-centered life. That is our focus. That is our one goal. Nothing else compares. We need reminders of this fact so many times, because we can't see our spiritual lives. But we need to remember that that's what we need to be focusing on. That's the reality, is that we do have a spiritual life that is hidden with Christ in heaven. But just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Several years ago, it's been 11 years ago now, 11, 12 years ago, I had a autoimmune disease that I did not know I had, that slowly over a period of months killed off my kidneys, caused me to go into chronic kidney failure, which is why I had the kidney transplant. Just because I didn't know it was there, just because I couldn't feel any symptoms, didn't mean it wasn't happening. Those of you with diabetes, you understand, or at least I hope you understand, that if you do not take care of your blood sugar levels, that over a period of time, even though you may not feel it, your body is being damaged by the high blood sugar levels. I tell Penn this all the time. You've got to stay on top of your numbers. You've got to keep that in check. Because you go for 20, 30 years without keeping that in check, and you're going to end up at a point where you've got physical problems that you didn't expect. It was happening all that time, but you didn't feel it. Just because you don't see it or feel it doesn't mean it's not there. And just because we don't see or feel our spiritual reality being hidden with Christ and being in the heavenly places in a now but not yet type of situation. We've been raised with Christ. We're seated in the heavenly places with Christ, Ephesians chapter 2. We're not there yet, though. We can't see the spiritual realm, but it doesn't mean it's not there. And so we need this reminder tomorrow. It's easy today while we're sitting here And while we're studying from God's Word, and while we're singing, and while we're praying, it's easy for us to focus our minds on these spiritual things, that, like he's talking about here in Colossians chapter 3, and verses 1 through 4. When it's hard, it's tomorrow morning when you got to get up and go to work. It's hard when you're dealing with that customer during the day, or dealing with that colleague during the day, to remember these words. It's hard when the daily things of life just seem to overwhelm you and you get caught up in the minutiae of life to remember the spiritual reality that is before us. If we are seeking the things above, though, if we are thinking about the things above, if we realize that our true life is one that is intimately connected with Christ, then our daily actions will reflect that. And we will put off sinful actions and put on righteous and holy actions. We will have put off the old man and put on the new man that is renewed in the image of God. Take a look at this verse in Colossians 3. And in verse 10, he says, "Put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." Brethren, we are image bearers of our Creator. We are made to look like Him, not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense, with the things that we do, the things that we say, the way we act. And if we are made in God's image, then we need to act like that. We need to be renewed according to the image of Him who created us. For those of you who are Christians, you've died. You have died with Christ. Our life needs to reflect that death. But those of you who are not Christians, those of you who have not been baptized into Christ, as he talked about in the previous chapter, who have not had that spiritual circumcision, the circumcision of Christ, you have yet to die. But we implore you this morning to take that step and be circumcised by Christ. Die with Christ and then be raised with Christ. Be raised and hidden with Him. Have your life hidden with Him, secure with Him, so that when He comes, it will be manifested in glory just as He is manifested in glory. Those of you who are Christians, let's remember, not just on Sundays when it's easy or Wednesday nights when it's easy to think about the spiritual matters, but let's remember this Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, each day, all day. What are we doing to seek those things that are above or set our mind on things above? Can we help you in some way with that goal of being with Christ? We want to help you. Won't you come together? We stand as we sing.